appreciate this. What a blessing. What a blessing. Well, everybody done their part. Now it's my time. Y'all pray for me. I said, Lord willing. I was worried last night after Jeff sent out the text message to let y'all know that I was going to preach this morning. I thought, well, some of them's going to feel about like when you got Pandora or something on your cell phone, you know, you listen to music on those music apps. And in the free version, once you skip so many songs, you can't skip no more. You just stuck with what you got. I thought, well, that's what they're going to feel tomorrow at church. But I promise this will be better than the root canal anyway. We try to get in touch with the Lord. And we try to, like I said, we had a thought coming into work the other day. And some of it comes from my own experience and things going on in my life. I realize we all got things going on in our lives. Life ain't easy. And we've never been promised that.
Amen.
But the Lord's with us. And if we've been saved by the grace of God, we know He's always with us. He never leaves our side. In the 15th chapter of Exodus, some of this will be familiar to y'all, some of this won't, maybe. I don't know how much of it I'm going to read. I got a lot of scripture planning on reading, trying to put things together last night in a form that would make sense to those hearing it, where they could get something out of it, and I pray that you do. The children of Israel had just came out of... just fled Egypt. They were enslaved there, and God seemed fit that He helped them out. Moses just parted the Red Sea there, and the Pharaoh and him had just followed them. And once the Pharaoh and his armies got there inside in the middle of the river there, the waters came to, and he destroyed them. He took them out, and so they were safe. They was on the other side, and God had yet again provided Israel another way to be safe. He took care of them once again. And I'm going to read some of this. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but it says, Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths are covered them. They sank in the bottom of the stone as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. The right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them and rose up against them. Thou sent forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the water gathered together. The flood stood upright in heat, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and hands shall destroy them. They just blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy have led forth a people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in the strength unto the holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and the mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them, and the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by generation of thine arm, they shall be as steel as stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, the people pass over which thou hast purchased. And I'll stop reading there, the many mistakes we have. And like I said, they was praising the Lord's name. They was praising God for what He's done for them. He led them out from slavery, and they was going on to the promised land there that was gave and promised unto Abraham. We find that Abraham over there, when he offered up his son Isaac, God made a covenant with him that his seed would be multiplied like the sands of the sea. And we know that God is talking about there the children of Israel and how that's going to spread and inhabit the world. And we understand all those things that God was with them since the time of Abraham. But if you look just a few pages before that, we'll find that something happened. And as the children of Israel, they was having a hard time. They began to murmur. They began to complain. They said, "Why did you even bring us out of Egypt? Wouldn't it be better that we just stayed there and worked and as slaves, and you brought us out here and we're going to die? The Pharaoh, he's after us now. If we'd have just stayed back there, we could have stayed there and lived there, and they wouldn't have hurt us. And we may have been slaves, but we've been safe." And I find it interesting that you know that God was with them the whole time. You know they knew that God was with them the whole time. See, God was with them by a pillar of fire at night and by a cloud during the day. And yet still, they doubted God. They doubted God. And then you find that later on in the Scriptures, in the Numbers over here, that after they had come to the land of promised land, that God had told them to send spies. And let me turn my place here. This is going to be over in chapter 14 of Numbers. It said, "All the congregation lifted up the voice and cried to the people and wept at night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, against the whole congregation, and said to them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God have we died in this wilderness?'" We find that that Moses was instructed to send spies over into that land, and they was to report back on what they found. And when they did, they reported back that they found mighty men. And they said, "Indeed, there is a land of milk and honey over there." Indeed, they brought back some grapes and things like that to just show them what was there, just so they would believe them. But, you know, they still had the promise of God, and He was always with them. But yet they still murmured. Anytime something was hard for them to do, to me, it seemed like they wanted to go against God and just turn back like a dog would put his tail between his legs and run the other way. And I find that amazing. Amen. That these people had witnessed the things they had. They had witnessed the sea being parted. They had witnessed the glory of God. They had seen God come down and dwell in the smoke there on Mount Sinai and all that. They built a tabernacle for God. But there was still doubt in their hearts. There was still doubt in their hearts. But the more I think about it, we're the same way. We are the same way. There's not a whole lot of difference between us and Israel. But if you think about it, we are Israel. We are God's chosen people, and so were they. And I was thinking what brought this thought onto my head, into my heart. A few weeks ago, Jeff had asked prayer for me up here just for a minute. And I had some tests ran. The doctor told me I had some liver enzymes messed up. I had to go for an ultrasound. And if y'all never heard me preach before, I preach a lot about my own personal life because, for one, nobody can get mad at me about it. And two, I've experienced things that I like to share. And I had to have an ultrasound done in my liver, and I was laying in there on that bed, and the girl, she had me jellied up, and she was rubbing that thing all over me. And, you know, I said, "I didn't know my liver went down that far." She said, "Well, it's for getting your kidneys and things. It's all a one-shot deal." Now, I was trying to watch that screen up there and see what I could see, like I was a doctor, I know what I was looking at. But I just know that he's going to find cancer or something in my liver. I just know. I know, I said, my life has been too good up to this point that something has got to happen. And that's the way my mind works sometimes. Call me Doubtful Thomas, I guess. And Lord help us, As we went back to work after that was done, we worried all day. We worried all day. As a matter of fact, we worried for almost a week till they got back to me. And as I was at work, I was thinking, one day I said, "Are you silly?" Just talking to myself. I said, "Are you silly? God has been with you from the day you've been saved, son. God has been with you every time you stood and preached. God has been with you. You've seen one of your children saved. Why would I ever doubt the Lord will take care of me? Why would I ever do that?" Because I did. Boy, I had doubts. I was almost to the point where I was mad that something was wrong with me that was going to hinder my life and maybe hinder my family or even take me away from them. And I was mad. And I know that's not good to be mad at God. Anger belongs to God is what I believe. He's the one that causes shots, not me, not you. And we find that Israel, as they go through this journey throughout these scriptures, that time and time again they did what I did. They either were mad because God didn't give them what they wanted, and they was too proud or too ignorant or just too dumb to see what God had done for them. And that's me a lot of times. I can be so dumb sometimes that I don't even know what God has done for me until it's done a year or two late, and I look back on life and I say, "Boy, I messed that one up, didn't I? That was my mistake, Lord." And then I have to go pray and try to fix that with Him. But He knowed it all along. You know, and I was thinking about those spies here that they sent over there. And it gives the names of them and it tells how many there was. And I'm not getting into all that because I know it's already getting late. But you think God didn't know what was over there already? You think God needed somebody to go over there and tell them what was there and report back? He knew what was over there. And I never thought about that to this morning because I've read them scripture several times. And I said, God knew that those people were over there. God knew that those people, those mighty men, the giants that they saw that scared them so much, there was giants over there. There were strong men over there. They knew if they went over there that surely they'd be slain, that their wives and their children would be killed, even though God told them that He had removed their powers. God told them it would be safe. That was their promised land. That land was for them. And I'm just amazed at how generation after generation after generation, God's people, we still think we know more than He does. And I don't know why that is. And I don't have an answer for it. But I know we still do it. And I read in these scriptures that God provided the people a way to the promised land. But I want you to listen to something. God didn't let everybody that was with them people go over the promised land. He didn't. And we need to listen to that a little bit. Yes, I'm saved by the grace of God. But it still don't mean I can't get in trouble. God has promised me I'm going to heaven. But it don't mean He can't chastise me. And these people suffered. They went for years. They went through slavery. They went wandering in the wilderness. They went hungry. God finally fed them manna coming down from heaven. And they went through all that. And some of them still never got to see the promised land. It says over here in the 28th verse, saying to them, "As truly as I live, saith the Lord, you all have spoken in my ears, so I'll do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into this land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and the son of Jephunneh and Joshua, the son of Nun. But you little ones, which you said should be a prey, to them that they was afraid that the kids would be a prey to those that was over there in the promised land, the Canaanites and all those. They shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcass shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms, and your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. I hate to know that because we are a puffed up people, a stiff-necked people, a rebellious people, that we go through these things in life. We go through these hardships in life. There's many here that's been through hardships with cancers and things of that nature. Children have been sick. All these things. And I hate to know that we suffer through all that to finally get towards the end and we don't get to see the benefit no more. Whatever blessings God has before me, I have no idea. But I know they're out there because I know He's been with me this far. He's been with you, and He's been with you, and He's been with those that have been saved. He's been with us every step of the way. But yet, when the times are hard, we want to go crawl back and go the other way. Be careful. Those blessings may be taken away from us before we ever know they existed. I hate to know that He had a blessing for me here in 5, 10, 20 years from now. And then because I want to act the way I want to act and not be obedient to God, and I want to do what I want to do and not do what God tells me to do, that I'm going to miss out on that and I'll never know it existed. I won't know what's on the other side of this. Sometimes we just need to wake up and smell the roses that God put out before us and not worry about the other stuff. Thankful for the talk that we had about the man that was judged earlier. We see people all the time when we want to judge them. We see people all the time when you don't know nothing about them. He could be a bigger Christian than I ever thought about being, or better, because I'm not that good if you want to know the truth about it. People think sometimes that preachers are like prophets and we can do certain things and we can go out and maybe tell the future or things, but we're just messengers that God gave us a job to do, and that's to carry the gospel to the lost world and to preach to His people. We all got jobs to do. Some of us are slacking, and I'm one of them. And I'm going to miss out on something because of that. I do believe that because I've been lazy in preaching God's word, that He's going to take something away from me. He's going to punish me. I believe it. And I thought for sure the other day when they found me sick with I got fatty liver disease. That's what I got. And even though that could be bad, it could eventually take my life. If I don't take care of it now, I've got time to fix it. But sometimes you won't have time to fix it. If you're lost here today and you think you can just wait to the appropriate time that you see fit to get saved, it don't work that way. And I don't know who's saved and who's not. I've heard some testimonies and I've seen some giver testimonies and I've some say that's been saved. But I don't know your heart. I just know what you tell me. And you could be lost as last year's Easter egg. But I don't know your heart. I believe everybody's testimony that I've heard. I have no reason to doubt it. I know that there's probably some here lost today that's never been saved. And if you wait to what you think is the appropriate time, and you wait to do it the way you want it to be done, it won't never happen. It'll never happen. God don't work that way. God don't work that way. He works on His own terms, and we work towards feeling what He wants us to do. We work towards working towards Him. And He's going to provide everything for us. I'm the most pessimistic person you'll ever come across, pretty much. I always plan for the worst. That way, when it happens, I'm ready. If it don't happen, I'm still prepared. That's the way I look at things. I try to prepare for the worst case scenario in everything I do. And I don't think that's a good way to go. I know people that don't have a care in the world. They just walk through life whistling Dixie, and everything's fine. And I wish I could be like that because I get tired of being burdened down all the time. Because I'm like these people. When things are good, I can praise the Lord. I can stand up and I can sing and I can shout and I can preach and I can tell everybody how good God is when things are good. And you let one little thing go wrong with my life and here I am. I'm like old Eeyore. Well, here we go again. You know, everything's bad, doom and gloom. And I remember being at work thinking, If God took everything away from me today, I've already got more than I deserved in the first place. I already received more than what a lot of people receive. If you're sitting in this church house today, you don't realize how blessed you are. I was listening to the radio news going to work the other day, and a man in China had come together and brought a congregation in his house. They was trying to hold church services in his house. And this was just 2 weeks ago, people. This wasn't back in the 1800s. This was just 2 weeks ago. And they was gathered there in that man's house, and they got a knock on the door, and guess what? They was arrested. They was arrested, probably some of them tortured, and I wouldn't doubt if some of them weren't dead today. They were trying to serve God in a way that would make God happy inside of His own house, and they came and they were persecuted for it. Right. To this day, folks, it still happens. But here I am waking up on Sunday morning sometimes saying, well, I don't feel like going to church. That's wrong. There ain't nothing right about that. We are so blessed. That same place where I told you me and Kendall went here a few years ago, there was a preacher there, and he was giving a story, and I'm not trying to steal nobody's thunder, but he said, if you took 100 people and lined them up, and those 100 people represented the population of the earth, okay, and just those 100 people, if you're in this country, you take all 90, you take 99 of them off, you're the first one in line. That's how blessed we are in this country. That's how blessed we are today. You are in the top 1% of people in this whole world. Did you know that? Yeah. Did you know that? Anybody in here? Whether you got $20 in your pocket or whether you got $1,000 or you don't even have enough gas to know if you're going home. You're in the top 1%. But yet we want to question God as God's people. We want to call Him out and say, why have you taken that away from me? Why did you do that to me? Why did you do this to me? And I've made that mistake more than once, people. I'm in trouble. We all should be on our knees right here around this altar thanking God for the house we have, for the food we have on our table. Go out there and look at this parking lot. Look at these cars. Some of them's nice. I don't know who owned them, but some of them's nice. Mine's nice, and it's got 300-something thousand miles on it. There's probably somebody in Ethiopia that would just have a heyday if I gave them that old truck out there. But we want to act like something's wrong with our lives. We're inconvenienced because we have to go to church sometimes. We don't want to listen to somebody singing a song. We just want to come to church and get out so we can go eat some fried chicken and mashed potatoes. We're in error, people, is what I'm trying to say. We're in error, people. We have lost our direction from some time ago, and I don't know when, but it's always been this way. That God's people, throughout the history of time, has always lost their direction, and He had to do something to jerk them back in line. I'm trying to save us the trouble and the agony of getting jerked back in line by God. I'm trying to save us the trouble. I'm trying to save myself the trouble. I'm trying to teach these younger people to listen to what I've done wrong so you don't do it. Because it's going to get rough. It's going to get rough. If you ain't been saved by the grace of God, it's going to be even rougher. I couldn't imagine trying to raise 3 kids to live in this world like I have and not be saved by the grace of God. I couldn't imagine not having Him on my side. I couldn't imagine sending my children to school without knowing that God is with them. I couldn't imagine getting up and going to work and without knowing that God's with me. Because I know God gave me the work I got. God gave me the life I got. But for some reason, I tend to forget it when it's not convenient and I don't like it and I don't want it no more. I never really liked preaching until not too long ago. I didn't. It was hard, and I was always afraid I was going to mess up. And I thought, well, if I just say a few words and get done, maybe it'll be okay. But I made them mistakes too. You know, we live in a time we're taught to be ashamed of what we are. And I don't mean taught to be ashamed because we're sinners. We ought to be ashamed because we're sinners. We're taught to be ashamed for loving the Lord. And we're kind of, well, ain't no kind of, we are actually doing what we're not supposed to in that. Paul said over in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of salvation. Amen. He said, because it is the power of salvation. Amen. We are taught to be ashamed because we follow Jesus. We're taught now that it's a shameful thing to be a part of God's church, to be a part of God's people. We're taught that we should be shameful. We shouldn't push out on nobody. We should draw back and we should kind of be meek about it. But I find there's power in the salvation of Jesus Christ. I find where the Holy Spirit come in there at Pentecost and gave the church power. Amen. I find where Jesus up on the mountain gave them power. He gave them authority. He gave the church authority and power. Where's it at? We've lost it. Well, we ain't lost it, but we don't use it. We abuse it. We like things to happen when it's convenient for us, and then we like to just turn it off when it's not. I want you to know this church has been endowed with power from the Most High. This church has been given a special gift of the Comforter that you've heard Jeff talk about many, many times. And it don't go away when we walk out these doors on Sunday. It goes out there. Because there's still a lost and dying world out there. And I don't know when it's going to end, but it's going to. And if you lost today, I want you to understand. This is a book, and it's right here in front of me, and it's full of God's words. I give you that. It's just paper with words printed on them. They print them off by the thousands. This is a nice, pretty one that the church gave me. Got my name on it. It's a good study Bible. He's got one too, but it ain't like this one, but it's got the same words in it. Kyle's got one. Johnny's got one. Everybody's got one, just about. These are words. And they even put the Jesus' words in red. You can see that. These words right here, they're in red. That's Jesus speaking. And they do that, and it's kind of convenient sometimes to know that Jesus is speaking, because the way some of these writers write, some it kind of runs together and you don't know who said what. It's neat. But there's more to it than that, is what I'm trying to tell you. There's power invested in these things. It's supernatural, people. We tend to look at church anymore. We tend to look at serving God as a just a physical type of thing. Just something we go and do. God gave the church the power to baptize. Jesus gave that authority to the church. And we go down to the water's edge, and when somebody joins the church after they've been saved, we grant them the rights and privileges after baptism. Why do we do that? Because it's power that God gives the church. It's authority. There's authority with all this, people. There's power in the gospel. There's power in God. There's power in Jesus. And we don't control it. That's up to Him. So the next time God puts a stumbling block in front of you, don't think He don't know what's there. Amen. He knew the people was over there when they sent the spies. He knew what they was going to go through. He knew how his children was going to react. But you know what? Time and time and time again, God provided for His children. Amen. You want to know why we keep preaching about this stuff? Then you're lost and you don't understand what in the world's going on. You want to know why we hold so dearly to this stuff? Because generation after generation after generation of his people backsliding, and his people turning against him, and his people disobeying, he is still here today providing a way for you to get back to him. Still to this day. And he's still forgiving people like me that's too dumb and ornery to even understand what's going on in his life. I have been blessed beyond measure. I've been blessed many, many times over. I can see stuff just revolve. Got a blessing this morning hearing Brother Laren teach Sunday school. That was a blessing to me. You know why it was a blessing? Because I used to know him before we ever stepped foot in a church together. He see me in some situations where I'm embarrassed to even talk about. And here we are. That's grown men with families and children. And we're sharing God's word and we're experiencing it together. Lord help. Never would have thought in 1,000 years me and Laren had been in the same church together 20 years ago. Never would have thought it. Here we are. Here we are. We're friends, but we're brothers. Amen. We're sisters. We're one people. People. We're God's people. And if you're lost, I want you to be one of us too. Amen. I want you to be gathered around that throne singing them songs one day after a while when all this is gone and it don't matter no more. I want you to understand that God has power. God has a plan for you, and God has a plan for me, and God has a plan for everybody. Whether we like it or not, we've got to trust in Him because He's going to see us through the other side. You might say, well, how do you know He's going to see you the other side? He's been doing it for generations and thousands of years, people. He ain't going to stop. There's going to be a time when it stops, and He's going to blow at last that trumpet, and it's going to sound for the last time. But you've got to that moment to make things right with God. If you're lost and He's dealing with you, and you got questions, I'd hit my knees right here today. I'd hit it wide open. I wouldn't ask nobody to tell me if I was saved or not. I'd want to know from Him. You better get up here, and you better ask the Lord to save your soul. You better humble yourself before God. You know, back towards what Kerry was talking about, the Bible says there's a time when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is a Savior. It don't say just to save people. It says every. So whether you've been saved or not, you're going to bow before Him and you're going to confess that He is Jesus, the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. But you're going to confess it, and it's going to be too late. So what I'm saying is, either way, you're going to do it. You want to do it the right way or the wrong way? What's it going to be? And if you're a church member, you've been saved, and you're like me, and things go wrong in your life, and you think, oh, what'd He do that to me for? You know. And I ain't kidding. I got mad. I got absolutely mad because my health went down. You want to know something ironic about that? Something that's just blew my mind this last night about 12 o'clock when I thought about this. Here I was mad at God because I'm sick. Because I got a fatty liver. So in other words, my liver is full of fat. Okay, I'm sick. I have lost a few pounds since then, though. I'm doing good. And I'm mad at Him for blessing me so much that I had enough food and stuff to eat that my liver got fat. Boy, that's smart, ain't it? So God has blessed me enough that I can't control myself enough, that I gorged myself enough, that I made myself sick because of the blessings He gave me. Whew. That's a rough one to swallow right there, folks. I mean, you might as well wear a sign that says stupid on the back, you know. We get mad at God when it's all our fault to begin with. And I thought, whoops, I messed up here. Once again, God, it ain't your fault. It's mine. You gave me everything I needed. And I took and ran with it. Probably never thanked you hardly ever. Ended up making myself sick. And here I am up here telling y'all about it. It's kind of embarrassing. But it's happened. It's true. God provided for us. Then something happens in our lives and we think it's His fault. Turn around, look, and it's ours. I say it's going to happen about 100% of the time. There ain't no 99, there ain't no 90, there ain't no 20, there ain't no 50. Anytime there's an error ever done, it's our fault. So if God's giving you something you think you can't handle, if God's put you in a position you think's too hard, trying to figure out where you went wrong. But I guarantee you, it's not God. Lost my microphone there for a minute. We got high tech and went with microphones now. But that's my message. I hope you get something from it. Listen, God's willing to provide for you. God's willing to give you a way. All the way to the end. There ain't no letting up. Are you willing to receive what God's willing to give you? And are you willing to do with it what He have you to do? That's my message, Brother Larry, if you want to give him a song.